Hello and welcome to the Gaming Duo, where friendships are built through gaming. We're your host, Robin Kelvin. And if you are joining for the first time, first off, thank you so much for tuning in. We're the podcast that keeps you, the gamer, up to date on the latest news and speculation about the gaming industry. It is Tuesday. It's been a long, long weekend. What's up, Kelv?
What's going on, man? It's been a very long time, I feel like.
What did you do this weekend? Give me the deets.
What did I do? I didn't do much, man. I ran around a lot. I got some stuff done. I painted the living room. I just got some chores done for the most part. Okay. Nothing exciting, man. How about you?
What did I do? I don't think I did anything crazy. I played a little bit Final Fantasy Rebirth, as always, and I did my taxes.
We did ours too. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah. So that's just the fun life of being 30-year-old. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you say you played a little bit of Final Fantasy, a little bit, like 10 hours, a little bit?
Or maybe less than that. I didn't get to play a ton like that I wanted to. It's just when you think the game is like, all right, I'm getting close to the ending, it's going to be done, they like do something else. And you're just like, come on, bro.
That's exactly how I felt with the first one. Yeah. I'm in a weird spot with Final Fantasy Rebirth right now. I don't like where I'm, like, I just don't feel like I'm progressing enough to enjoy what's happening. I don't know if that's just me, if I'm alone on this. Guys, let me know if you feel the same way, or if you're totally, you know, on the opposite spectrum of this. But I'm not vibing with it right now. I vibed with it for the first 30 hours. I was like, this is great. I love it. Like, I'm really enjoying what I'm doing. And then now I just kind of hit a wall, and I'm hoping I get back into it, because I still have a few chapters left. I mean, I'm only on chapter 9, so there's still a ways to go, but I'm hoping it picks up.
Just beeline for the story. Don't do the side stuff, because that's what's happening to me, is I'm just getting distracted with all the side things, and it's derailing me a lot from the story. Not that I hate doing this stuff. It's I like it, but at the same time, like, I'm getting anxious. I'm like,
you're almost there. You're like literally almost there.
Yeah, I'm there. I'm at the finish line. I think so. Hopefully, by the time, when does Rising Tide come out? This week, right?
Oh my God! Don't say that.
It is. It's this week. April. Rising Tide release date. When are we coming out? But yeah, so we have Final Fantasy 18.
April 18th.
So that's Thursday.
Right? Yes.
Yeah. So.
Oh, man.
I beat it by Thursday. We shall see. And then jump right into another Final Fantasy.
Yeah, but this one's way more like just story. You know, like, and obviously you're playing a DLC, so it's going to
be. And this one's way more like, you know, just punching away at the square.
Yeah, just punching away, thinking about your grocery list while you're punching away at things.
Right. Like, oh, what did I. Anyways. Guys, thank you so much for joining us. We are going to give you the latest gaming news. So let's jump right in. Unless that's all you got for me, Kel, for housekeeping.
That's all I got.
All right. First thing on the Daily Duo, Hey, Fallout games have seen a huge spike on Steam following the release of the TV show. Crazy how that works, right? Release a killer TV show and people come flocking to your game. That's
not like I called it or anything last time.
Yeah, exactly, right? Yeah, like even I said, I was like, I want to kind of download Fallout. Like, that sounds kind of fun. But anyways, as an apparent result of the show's success, Steam DB points out the number of Fallout games have enjoyed a large increase in player counts on Steam following its release. The biggest leap has been enjoyed by Fallout 4, which hit about 20,000 players peak for the past 6 months, but it saw a peak of 83,000 on Sunday. So normally it's about 20 to 24,000 during the weekend or so for the past 6 months, and it jumped to 83,000 on Sunday. Fallout 76 also shot up. It was about 13,000 players in the past, 3 months. It jumped up to 39,000 on Sunday. So that just goes to show you, if you put out a good gaming show, like show about gaming, you're going to see success in your actual games. So
good job, guys. Seen the show?
I have not picked it up yet. I want to. I think tomorrow I'm going to try and watch it during dinner.
This week, I will for sure. I've heard great things. Even people that don't vibe with games, like they don't even like play the video games, they're like, oh, have you seen that Fallout show? I heard it's like a video game. And I'm like, yeah, I've heard of it. Yeah. And
yeah,
it's one of those things where like it's getting the mass audience, and you know, it's doing great, you know, 93% on Rotten Tomatoes, right? Yeah, it's just doing well, you know, like you can tell like this is one of those video game adaptations that is definitely catching steam, similar to like The Last of Us. And again, if you pull out a great TV show, it is going to reflect on the game sales, as we've seen in numerous titles like The Last of Us, as we've seen in other titles like Cyberpunk. It just does numbers. For some reason, it gives you that drive to play those games, you know?
Yeah, yeah. It's just like, because you're interested. You're like, you piqued your interest. Like, ooh, what is this about? So I'm happy that worked out, like, as far as, and I think that's why they were like saying like no to Oblivion. I know Todd Howard's like, you and Oblivion show, and they're like, nah, stop.
Do you think if they made a video game adaptation of some game that you've never heard about, like you're like, oh, I've never heard about this game, you start watching the show, would it pique your interest to actually pick up that game? I think so. I think because I'm looking at it from a gamer's perspective, where like I know all these games, I know how they play or whatever. But if there's an instance where there's a show that I've never heard of a game before that they're kind of like, you know, basing it off of, will that make me, if I watch the show and I enjoy it, will that make me go and play the game?
Yeah, you do it, right? I do it. I did it. I went back into the games.
Yeah, but that's terrifying. Yeah, but I'm talking about a game that you've never heard of or even seen gameplay before. Like, I'm thinking of like the general audience, you know?
I mean, I think everyone who's a gamer is going to probably jump in and get interested, right? So I know a buddy who's not really like that much of a gamer. He like texted me. He's like, hey, Fallout, have you watched Fallout? And I was like, no, but I know exactly what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. So he might go and pick up Fallout. Who knows, he might go and jump in Fallout 4. So
that's cool.
Do you want, now I know there's a Devil May Cry anime coming out soon ish I think 2025, I think. Mm-hmm. It's coming. I don't know, they don't have a release date for it, but do you think people are gonna go play Devil May Cry?
Oh yeah.
Five?
Oh yeah. Yeah, if it's great, if it's a good anime, yeah, 100%.
I might even go play Devil May Cry again after I watch it. So
you just do it. If I tell you to play, you'll be like, yeah, sure, I'll play.
Yeah, that's easy.
It's easy for you. The God. So I'm looking forward to God of War, TV show. That's, I think it's hitting on Amazon, if I'm not mistaken. That's gonna be interesting. I think we've been hitting really great strides, and so far nothing's really bombed to the point where like, wow, this is like a catastrophe of a show, right? So I'm assuming that God of War is gonna do pretty well. I'm interested to see how that plays out, how that turns out, who they cast, what storylines they go into. I want to see the outcome of the God of War TV show.
Yeah, that'll be tough because it has a lot to live up to, and it's like very theatrical, like kind of like how Halo was. Halo had a lot to live up to. I heard season 2 though is very good for the Halo show. But I'm kind of nervous about, I'm more nervous about God. I'm sure it's going to come out great because that's what they do, right? But I'm nervous about how it's going to compare to the game. Right, like, are they gonna base it off of the new series of the remakes, the newer ones? Yeah, or are they gonna do the old God of Wars from like PlayStation 3 era, like guttural and you know, bloody and all that kind of stuff? Maybe a mix of both. I don't know. So, I would love to see them do like the prequels or the original games of like how Kratos became the God of War, and then go into later in life how he's just kind of like relaxed and chill.
I'm sure they'll sprinkle a little bit of that mixing with the 2018 God of War, because I think that's where they want to hit mostly, because obviously it's seen so much more like wide success from the 2018. But before we move on, is there another video game that you want them to adapt to a TV show right now? I feel like we've talked about this before, but just kind of like full circle.
Final Fantasy. I'm just kidding. I think I'm good with Final Fantasy.
You're done? That's okay.
I don't know. Like Final Fantasy 16, Final Fantasy 7 Rebirth. Like I saw the what's the show? Not the show, the movie in the theaters, Advent Children. I'm like, think I'm Final Fantasy out for a little bit after this. You know, I'll take a break from it. You know, I don't think I'm gonna. And I also played 7, the original, right before Rebirth came out. Mm-hmm, so I'm like, I think I got my fix, you know?
For sure, but, for sure. I don't have anything right now, honestly. Kingdom Hearts. Go on. Kingdom Hearts
would be good. A Mega Man show would be cool.
That would be cool, too.
They did have a Mega Man show. Battle Network? Yeah, they did the show.
Yeah, that was a great show, by the way.
That was good.
Battle Network was really good. I tried playing the game, not as I couldn't get into it as much as I used to get into it. Before I was like, this is great, but now I'm like, eh.
You bought the collection,
I bought the
right?
whole, yeah, I bought the whole collection.
You gotta beat your games, man. You gotta beat the games that are not like single player titles. You gotta.
This is a single player title,
but you didn't beat it.
I know, but that doesn't mean that it's not the fact that it's not a single player title. It's just the fact that I lost interest. Like I just couldn't finish it. I can get back to it. It's on my Switch. I just, you know,
well,
so unsteady. You know,
you got Stellar Blade that's coming out next month.
Oh my!
This
God.
Month. This month. This month.
This, yeah. This month. Yes.
Like next week. And then we have Final Fantasy Rising Tide, and then Hellblade's coming out in May. So,
and we have Persona.
And Persona, that's fine. I can hold off on Persona because I know it's going to be the same. Like it's going to be there, right? So, but I will say with Persona, I was kind of getting like bored of it. I was like playing it on cloud, and I was just like, they're going through like the high school stuff, and I'm just like, okay, I don't care. I'm like literally skipping past it, and I'm like, I shouldn't, but I felt like dirty doing it. I'm like,
it's very samey. Like I think we spoke about this off camera, but like I didn't feel like that with Persona 4. I didn't feel like that with Persona 5 either, where it just felt samey. Maybe because I was just so new into the series back then. But playing P3 now, I'm just like, this is very just. I don't
going
know.
Through the motions, like you're just
yeah,
kinda like, yeah, yeah.
But so. I feel like this is worse. Like I don't know. Again, this is obviously an older title, so I'm sure they've evolved and learned from P3, which probably didn't seem like it at the time. But yeah, this game definitely has a lot of like nuances of like, okay, well, I'm just kind of doing the same thing over and over until I get to a good story beat. But I think I'm hopeful. I think we're still very early on, and I think
beginning.
Give us another 10 hours, and then I think that's what we're
already doing. Put in like 15 hours into the game, and it's still
I'm at 20 right now, and I'm like, okay,
wild, wild, wild. Let's move on, guys, to Final Fantasy 7 Rebirth. Yeah, we're gonna still talk about Final Fantasy. Has been underperforming, and I say this with heavy quotes, sales wise. According to Daniel Armad, director of research insights at Nico Partners, they said the PS5 game has been faring worse than its predecessors following its release on February. He said it's underperforming. It's selling about half of what remakes sold in the same time frame. It looks like it's a weaker tale prior to PS Plus any release. Final Fantasy VII Remake released for PS4 in 2020, and it had an install base of over 100 million units, which is kind of insane. Shipments topped 3.5 million for the first 3 days, according to Square Enix, but they haven't said anything about Rebirth. In comparison, Rebirth was released a few months after the PS5 hit 50 million sales. So we don't have... This is kind of a dumb piece because we don't have the actual number for Rebirth yet. So I would like to see that number first before, you know, we say it's underperforming. Maybe it didn't... Here's the thing. In order for you to play Rebirth, you need to play Remake. Because of continuation, right? You could not play Remake, but you're kind of doing yourself a disservice by not playing Remake. So, like, it's kind of like Kingdom Hearts 2, right? You kind of have to play Kingdom Hearts 1 to know what's happening in Kingdom Hearts 2. But this is just what happens with sequel. I think that's what happens with a lot of these, like, sequel games where you have to play the first one. Did God of War Ragnarok beat God of War 2018, right?
Yes. Yes.
And Spider-Man 2 beat Spider-Man 1. Yes. Right. Okay.
Yeah, RPGs I think RPGs have it tough. I think when it comes to Final Fantasy 7, like you said, we don't have the full picture here because we're missing a lot of data. However, it is strange that Square Enix has not said or released any statement regarding the sales of Rebirth. Right, you would think if this was, you know, and I'm just throwing stuff out there. I'm just guessing. If this game was overperforming or meeting expectations, you would think they would be kind of boasting that on social media, on, you know, on their, or on their social, on their website. Like, these things would be like, hey, you know, Final Fantasy has sold over 5 million copies in just 24 hours or whatever, right? Like, that kind of gives you the indication that either it is performing well, right? It's doing fine. It's not doing the numbers that they expected or wanted, but I don't think it's overperforming or achieving any like expectations that they thought were not met, if that makes sense.
So I hate to use this example, but Remake came out in COVID, April 2020. So what are you doing at home? You're playing Final Fantasy at home. You're playing games at home, right? So that's a big part, right? Of that, everyone's home, they're stuck playing games. You can't really go outside. You can't do any stuff. So Remake is obviously, and it was super hyped up because it is the remake of Final Fantasy VII. So everyone's very interested. Maybe people didn't like vibe with it as much. They could have been, some people were like, yeah, I didn't really like it as much as I wanted it to. So they didn't say, I'm not going to bother with the sequel. Another thing to keep in mind is that it launched on PS4 late into the PS4's cycle, right? So a lot more people have a PS4 than PS5 right now at this point in time, right? Because it's you know, you can play it on a PS4. You didn't have to need the Pro. You can play it on the regular PS4. So I think that's a big thing too, is that it's not a cross-gen platform. That you can't play it on PS4 Rebirth. So I think if you could play on PS4, the numbers might be a little better, because you're including that. And then if they open, gave it an Xbox, they'd be, see a pretty decent size lift. But again, this also shows us that, hey, the power of PC and releasing on PC. Mm-hmm. They release this thing coincide with PC, so many more people are going to download. Because we know the PC clan or the PC, you know, PC players, they will scoop up the hottest new game on and they'll just download it. It just happens. Just what's what it does.
Yeah. I don't know necessarily if releasing it on Xbox would do much for both parties.
Yeah.
PC for sure. Yeah, PC for sure. Yeah. I mean, people said the same thing about Final Fantasy 16, right?
Mm-hmm.
It sold over 3 million copies in like the first week, and people were like, oh, that's it? Like, that's not enough. And I think Square Enix made some type of like suggestion similar to, or something along the lines of like, it met expectations, but it wasn't enough or something like that. Some, I don't know, whatever they said, and people kind of took that and spin it, whatever, you know. But yeah, I think this doesn't mean anything in the grand scheme of things, right? This is not anything that's like, oh my gosh, Final Fantasy VII is doomed. You know, cancel the third installment. Like, nothing like that is happening. Square Enix is not in a rough spot due to this. Like, this is just, you know, people overanalyzing and just kind of like reaching, I feel like, a little bit. I think Final Fantasy VII did just fine. Obviously, we don't have the official numbers, but I can't imagine this game not performing how it should.
Yeah, and a lot of people do wait for sales now on video games as well. Right, you know, times are a little tougher at this point in the economy, right? So maybe people are just waiting for Final Fantasy VII Rebirth to drop a little bit in price, right? Maybe a salesman will pick it up, right? They're not rushing. We also had a couple of games that came out like recently on PC that people were kind of busy with. You know, there's a lot of things that are releasing at the same time, so maybe people are just like, you know, Rebirth I can always kind of like pick up. For example, a lot of people were into Helldivers, right? So maybe like people were just like, I like playing Helldivers. That's what I want to dedicate my time to. I'll get to Rebirth eventually. I don't have to. But now Helldivers is like the move with the bros, right? With the boys, like let's drop. So maybe Helldivers could have even eclipsed that, like helped not sell as much because people want to play that instead. Just because this is more of a easier point of entry to play with your friends. This is, you have to, again, got to dedicate a lot of time to freaking actually play it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take a break here, Kelvin. If you guys are enjoying our episode, please go ahead and rate us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Don't forget to drop a review and remember to follow us on all social media platforms. Be part of the community by joining our Discord server. where friendships are truly built through gaming. It's been a little quiet. It's okay because we had a little bit of a busy week, busy weekend.
It's fine, man, because I haven't really been in our server this weekend because I don't know if you know, Rob, a lot of shit happened this weekend. A lot. When it comes to the rap game, it's been spiraling out of control.
Yeah, Kelvin's
and a
very...
I've been enthralled in every little piece of it. It's been a ride. It's been a journey. I've been searching up so like YouTube videos, like 4 hour long YouTube videos dissecting bars all over the place with Drake and Kendrick Lamar and J. Cole, and I was just like fiending for it, dude. It was when I get to this point, it doesn't happen often because obviously this is not something that happens that often, but when it does, I get into it.
Wow. I could tell you were very, very, this whole weekend, everything, every time I talked to you was just about rap. It was just about like the rap battles that are going on with Drake, Rick Ross, and J. Cole and Kendrick. So I was going to ask you, I was going to say, I actually started using Apple Podcasts more for listening to podcasts. I kind of like it better for searching for podcasts than Spotify. I feel like Spotify is like podcasts, like to find a podcast, a relevant podcast that you like is not as good as Apple Podcasts. Yeah, maybe just because like I'm searching all like Apple Podcasts is just podcasts that are in there, where if like you search on Spotify, it's like giving you like everything ever. Yeah,
that's fair.
So and it's free. It's free. You don't have to like pay for anything. So I'm like, I kind of like that. So
nice.
And we talked about getting YouTube Premium, maybe.
I'm so down. I'm so down.
All right. Again, with some Final Fantasy, I promise, guys, once we like after April, we will shut the hell up about Final Fantasy. We will do it. Once we beat these games, we'll do like a nice little, we're gonna do like a review or like a panel about Final Fantasy 16 or sorry, about 7. And then that'll be it for a little bit, right, Kelvin? Like we're gonna be done.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, because there's nothing else Final Fantasy related that we need to talk about. So we'll shut up about Final Fantasy.
Prior to the release last year, Final Fantasy 16 is trying to attract, or it was successful in attracting a younger audience. Square Enix said it decided not to include a turn-based combat in a game with the goal of appealing to the wider market. Developer said told Push Square that Final Fantasy 16 action-based combat has helped the publisher achieve the goal at some degree. So that makes sense. Easier point of entry. You don't have to think. You just mash square and you have your powers and super actiony, and it's more easier to, whereas you like you press X and you're like, okay, I can use my abilities, I can use my spells, I can use my items, but if I can cast haste on this person and I can put a barrier on him, and then I can use regen so he's actively, so he's recovering HP, and then I'll use Barrett seal skin so he's getting the defensive buff, okay, and then my limit bar is gonna get charged. That's Final Fantasy 7.
I don't know what you just said.
So, yeah, exactly. Whereas you know,
give me my Final Club. Fantasy 16. That's it.
Exactly. Gladly. Press square.
I just learned that. So the game in 7, the game teaches you or tells you basically, hey, when you have a new weapon, you can use this weapon specific or this attack specifically, and you'll learn its ability. I just found that out.
This is why 7's not your favorite Final Fantasy. That wasn't the last game too.
Never did it. No idea. It tells you, it gives you like a little dot next to the
Oh, it's just a bar. If you go to combat, it shows like a little meter that shows how far you are to leveling up the weapon. No one
tells you these things, you know. I have a best friend that plays Final Fantasy for a living, and he hasn't even told me that. So
I am actually, of all the weapons you get, because you get a few weapons, I've been rocking the Buster Sword.
Buster!
I haven't changed. I changed it to when like the weapon I want the weapon's ability.
Yeah, and then that's why I changed it back
to the Buster Sword. Yeah, anyway, yeah. But that's an example for me with Final Fantasy. A good example of they don't make the first weapon you get obsolete, right? They make it still usable as you're leveling it up, so you can still use an end game if you want, right? Like,
yeah.
You know how cool would that be, Kingdom Hearts, if you like wanted to use what's his name? Sora's Keyblade, the first Keyblade. Ooh. But you don't want to use it because it's weak, right? It sucks at that point in time.
Right.
So you want
right.
to use like the more buffed up ones and stuff like that. I like when games do that.
That's a great way. If they can implement that in Kingdom Hearts, that'd be solid.
Yeah.
That'd be solid.
Yeah.
He can use the Nomura, Keyblade ability. Talk to me, man. Please.
That's another conversation I want to have. I want to, when we talk about Kingdom Hearts, I want to talk about like, yeah, we have.
I need a deep dive on Kingdom Hearts, Rob. We need to talk like Kingdom Hearts. Like we need to dedicate like an episode for Kingdom Hearts, or just do its own separate like you know content for it.
You know what else is very good content?
What's that?
Sonic the Hedgehog 3. It's gonna have Keanu Reeves play the voice of Shadow. Let's go.
Let's do it.
That's so good. I'm so happy that he's gonna sound so cool. Now that I hear it, I'm like, he's gonna sound so perfect. He's gonna make Shadow sound amazing.
This is like what a win. Like that's such a grab. You have an all-star cast,
right?
In this movie, like Sonic 3 is going to be. I don't know, man. Like, it's going to be fucking great. It's going to be great. And it's going to be the first movie that my son watches in the theaters.
Wow. So he's going to remember that for his life. He's going to remember that for the rest of his life.
And he loves Sonic.
He's going to remember that for the rest of his life, 100%. Yeah. That's going to be a good core memory right there.
Yep. It's going to be fantastic.
I was reading something about Sonic 3, and it did say that the events that happen in Sonic 3 are going to be like Avenger style type shit. So like this tells me, I don't know. Are we getting like some kind of universe? If they do that, the Nintendo verse, what did Chazzy call it? The NCU. Yeah. They got to do it.
Well, they started with Sonic 3. Would that be the first movie that actually spawns that whole theory?
Well, if Sonic 3 does really well at the box office, which it will, it's going to.
Sonic 2 is the second highest grossing video game adaptation, so it must, right? It has to.
You think they're just going to stop making Sonic movies after that? Like, after Shadow, there's not really much after. Like, I know there's, like...
Yeah, the other guy, Amy and all these other people, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be a great way to still keep the Sonic movies relevant, but also just kind of branching out into this whole new universe. Oh my God. And I mean, if the directors of this movie can make Sonic 3, bring Sonic the movie in general from the grave, right? Because that movie was going to like die. Slowly die, but they revamped Sonic the way that he looks, and they listened to critiques, and everybody was like, oh my gosh, like he looks great now. And now they just have this like fan service, and everyone's just like respects them for doing that. That I feel like they would be the people to make this MCU work.
I highly agree. Like, I think that they need to like give us something at the end there, just like show like Mario's glove or something, Mario's hat or something. Just give us that. That's all I get.
It's all there, man. Like, we have the Super Mario movie, you know, it's there. Just blend them together.
Oh God. If there's a Super Smash Brothers movie that comes out, oh my God. Sacrifice, like, leave me alone.
It's going to happen, man. It has to. I don't know. Man. We'll see.
Last piece of news here is, guys, it's the PS5 Pro leak has suggest a big upgrade. Now, I know we talk about the PS5 Pro a lot, but apparently there's a full list of specs for the PS5 Pro. There's going to be an improved GPU, a slightly improved CPU. There's going to be upscaling. So you're going to get better FPS and resolution. You're going to have 20. I feel like we covered this 28% increase over the standard PS5. So the games can use more of the system memory, and it's going to launch this holiday season. I guess this is more cementing that report that.
Yeah, there was a lot more in depth, like numbers. And if you go into the leak, there was like a full blown list that kind of like breaks down CPU, GPU, and all that good stuff. I wasn't going to write all that stuff because it just really doesn't mean much to a lot of people. So, yeah, we did talk about this a little bit, but now there's just more. It's more solidified saying like, hey, this is going to be a bigger jump than what we expected from the PS5 Pro. And it's gonna change things slightly or significantly for PS5 titles.
Yeah, I think the fact that there's so many leaks and rumors about it, I feel like this is going to ring true because like everything is kind of like aligning with each other and all the numbers are kind of looking the same across the board of everyone.
Right.
So I feel like this leak is probably true. I that's what I'm saying. I think it's not a fake leak. Right. So,
no.
But we don't know anything about the Switch 2. We know nothing about the Switch 2, really. Nothing.
And should because, we, at this point, we should be getting close to getting something, news, right? A trailer of some sort. Like, Nintendo has to be cooking something soon. So, it's only a matter of time.
I want to know who is their PR team because they are insane. Like, they are so good at keeping things under wrap. It's insane how good they are about it. Like, how do they do it? How do they make it so, like, no one says anything, like no one breaks their NDA? Yeah, like
it's just they have a tight knit group. I don't know. They threaten them. I don't know. I don't know what they do, dude.
Put them when they employ them, they like handcuff them and they're like, yeah, all right, sign with your blood here, you know.
Seriously, man. But they do a great job. But yeah, it's gonna be interesting. This year's gonna be interesting when it comes to games, when it comes to movie adaptations. Comes to the rap game, like there's a lot going on.
Rap game.
I'm excited.
All right, ladies and gents, that's gonna wrap it up for your news for the day. Please again go to your favorite podcast streaming service and leave us a 5-star review, or not. You can leave us a 1-star review, but we don't like that. Big shout out to all of our listeners, and again, thank you so much for your support. We'll be back tomorrow with some more gaming news.
Peace.
Adios.